privilege once again to be sharing God's word this morning. Welcome. I feel like I haven't preached here for a while over the last couple of weeks. But before we dive into our new preaching journey, I wanted to take an opportunity this morning to pull out the biggest takeaway that I had from our Global Equip. Last week, we were up in Johannesburg. The week before that, we had our NCMI team meeting. As most of you know, NCMI, the New Covenant Ministries International, that's a team of Ephesians 4 gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's a team, and we're part of that team. And as a church, we relate to that team. That's why when we have people come and minister here, they don't come as guest speakers. They come as members of that New Covenant Ministries team to help us grow and build the church. And so we gathered together last week up in Johannesburg. Maybe you've got that photo if it is available. It was a really big conference. We hired out Rhema. Anyway, it might come up just now. But there were literally thousands and thousands of people from right around the world gathered together to worship and to enjoy the presence of God. There it is. You can see it was an amazing opportunity. And what I want to do this morning is just take the biggest takeaway for me, so that we don't just get busy now with our lives and back into our church routines and miss what I believe God wanted to say to us. And so I'm going to start off by reading from the book of Colossians. It's a beautiful passage, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. And Paul, as he writes to the church, he said, "The Son," speaking about Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God." Now, if you're a parent, you'll know that the younger your children are, the more difficult the theological questions are. Like, who is God and where did God come from? And one of them is, well, what does God look like? And here's the answer. It said Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So when your two-year-old one day asks you, what does God look like? You can say, he looks like Jesus, because that is God in the flesh, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, in Christ, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. I love that. For me, that's one of the most encouraging verses. If you ever feel your life is falling apart, here's the solution. In him all things hold together. If you feel like your family is falling apart, in him all things hold together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I want to remind us, even though we know it, I want to remind us again that Jesus is the image of God in human form. Jesus is the inheritor of all things. The nations belong to him. It all belongs to him. He inherits it all. Jesus is the creator of all things. Jesus is the sustainer of all things. Jesus is the head of all things. Jesus is the beginning of all things. Jesus is the source of all things. Jesus is supreme over all things. Jesus is the fullness of God. Jesus is the reconciler of all things. Jesus is the savior of the world. Can you say amen to that? Amen. What's the big idea? Big idea is simply this. Tyron Daniel, who leads our New Covenant Ministries team, and he's got a unique ministry leading a team, our NCMI team. There were 700 of us at the team meeting. So there's probably, what, about 300 at least couples right around the world working as part of this team. And then there were thousands of people at the actual Global Equip, hundreds and thousands of churches partnering together. And his mission, his self-proclaimed mission is this: my job is to help us remember that the main thing is to keep the main one the main thing. And for me, that was the takeaway from our week together. As much as we Jesus, passion and focus, we need to be reminded again and again, the main thing is to keep the main one. And the main one is Jesus. Keep the main one the main thing. Do you know, even when you're driving your car along a straight road, you're still always making minor adjustments. It's very rare that your steering wheel will be completely still. You're always making slight adjustments all the time. In the exact same way, we know our primary vision, our primary value as a church, Jesus, it's all about you. But even saying that, we should be making those 1% adjustments all the time. Jesus, I want to be more focused on you, more in love with you, more centered on you. It's all about you. And so, what does it mean? Why is it so important? I want to give you three simple things. Why is it so critical for our lives and for us as a church and as a community? Why is it so critical that we make it all about Jesus? Well, number one, it simplifies our lives. How many of you want a more simple life? Well, at least there's five of you. That's good. All the rest of you, maybe you're bored with life and you want some excitement. Most of us like, make it simple. Here's the thing. Do you know that sin complicates life? Lies and deception, it makes life complicated. Pride gets in the way. Our busyness, our complexities, our strategies. One of the biggest takeaways for me from the Global Equip is just how simple it was. The focus of the whole conference was not to try and let's get in a big name musician to draw a crowd or let's get some of the best speakers from it. No. It was just let's focus in on Jesus. The very song set that we sang, we didn't sing the most popular Christian songs of the day. Actually, the songs were all chosen, not even songs about Jesus, songs to Jesus. And we just worshiped the Lord. And there was such a beautiful anointing. The preaching was not profound, like, wow, what an amazing revelation. No, it was simply, let's come back to keeping Jesus the center of everything. And as Jesus is exalted, he's working on our hearts and God is speaking and bringing about life and change. One of the testimonies, we had such an amazing week. Last week, you would have seen some of the South American team who were here, and we got some of it right, some of it not so right last Sunday, trying to get through our preaching. But then we took them on Monday to the Umfolozi, and we saw some of the game, and then on Tuesday, I spent the day with them talking through some of the things, and we took them to the beach. On Wednesday, we went to see the hippos in St. Lucia. They loved it, but I think the hippos are wasted. They just want to take photos of the monkeys. I'm like, guys, come on. Those things are a pest, but it's good to see your town and your country through other people's eyes as well. But one of their testimonies is the guy who preached on Sunday night, Diego, he was invited into one of their worship sessions. He's a singer and they wanted to sing in Spanish, so they invited him. And he said, Brent, the amazing thing is I went to their music practice before the session, but it really wasn't a music practice. It was like a service before the service because the music team were there and then they just started worshiping. And instead of practicing, how do we play this or how do we, they just worshiped. And we just focused on Jesus, and then there was just free worship, and then we just ministered to each other, and then the session started. And I love that. It wasn't about trying to be excellent. It was about, let's just love Jesus. And that's the point that I'm trying to drive home. The Bible, one of the most famous verses, remember Matthew 6, verse 33? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you as well. I love that. That sums it up. The simplification of a life of following Jesus. Just focus on Christ. Make it about Jesus. As you focus on him, as you seek him, God will take care of the rest. The problem is, if you're not seeking first the kingdom, you've got to go seeking all the rest. And that's what makes our lives complicated and busy and just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When Jesus is the main one, he simplifies our strategies and structures because instead of being consumed with the how, we're consumed with the who. When we keep Jesus as the main priority of our lives, it simplifies our decision-making and focus. So number one, that's why we keep Jesus as the center of it all because he simplifies our lives and our church. Number two, it doesn't just simplify, it unifies. This is one of the most beautiful things. When Christ is Lord, he brings people together. We come together, not out of a forced unity, not out of an agreement of a belief statement, but very simply, when knees bow to the Lordship of Jesus, they are brought together. And one of the most beautiful things that our Global Equip is such a wide variety of people coming from different nations, different languages, and we know they eat different food and speak different ways and do church, but under the Lordship of Jesus, there's an incredible unity. Something happens when Christ is central. Another of the testimonies of one of the South Americans is obviously in a huge conference type event that we had, there's a limited number of preaching spots available and some incredible preachers. And he said he went to some of the bigger names amongst our NCMR team and he asked them, hey, are you going to be preaching? And most of them said, no, not this year. And he said, well, hey, aren't you a bit upset that you don't get an opportunity to preach? And he said, they all said the same thing. They said, no, but it's not about us. It's about him. And that's what brings unity. You see, what brings division is when our pride gets involved. As soon as when it's about me and it's my agenda and it's my ministry, as soon as our pride gets in the way, division always follows. But when it's about Christ, he unifies us. It says in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, it says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Don't you love that? It says, until we reach unity. Unity is reached. The more we come under the lordship of Jesus, the more we come into unity. And I want to say that's what happens in your relationship with God. That's what happens in marriage. If you've maybe been to a wedding and heard a preacher speaking at a wedding, he might have described the triangle where God is at the top of the triangle and the hubby and wifey are at the bottom. But here's the thing, the closer they are to Jesus, the closer they are to one another. Amen? And it's true. It's a simple illustration, but that describes what happens under the lordship of Jesus. We don't have to come together and sing Kumbaya, bind us together. When we all bow our knee to Christ, we will come together into unity. And I was reminded sometimes when I do weddings, maybe I'll remind again, husbands, do you know the best husband you could ever be is a husband who loves Jesus more than your wife? Because when Jesus is first, you will be a better husband and you'll love your wife better. Wifey, the best wife you could ever be is a wife who loves Jesus more than her husband. The best mom you could ever be is a mom who loves Jesus more than her children. Because the more Jesus is first, the more his anointing is released through you so that you can love with the love of God. When we keep Jesus as the main one, he unifies us under his headship. When Jesus is central, he simplifies our lives. When Jesus is central, he unifies us. And I love this one. Quentin alluded to the scripture. When Jesus is central, he multiplies us as well. It was beautiful to see the growth, to see the growing number of churches and partnerships and what God is doing in the nations, more churches being planted, more nations opening up to us. One of the things that stood out to me as well is there's a whole new generation being multiplied. Now, in some ways, Kate and I are like the second generation. There were some founders of the New Covenant Ministries team, that early team who went ahead and we were the young kids on the block. But now it seems we're kind of right in the middle, but we're seeing this new generation. And I'm seeing my son coming through. And we're starting to see all the sons and daughters of so many of the pastors who've gone ahead of us. And now they're the ones planting the new churches. They're the ones getting up to preach. They're the one breaking open nations. Lord, you're multiplying it. Not just with people being added, but from a very sons and daughters rising up amongst us as well. When Jesus is the main one, he releases fruitfulness. Let me read that, John 15, verse 4. Remain in me, Jesus said, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, fruitfulness glorifies God. And what happens is the worldly counterfeit of fruitfulness is success. And there's something inside of us. We want to chase after success. And sometimes as we chase what looks like success, money, fame, power, whatever, it actually just, we find ourselves busy and busy as we spin the wheel. But here's the thing, fruitfulness doesn't come from clever strategies and programs. It comes out of intimacy with Jesus. The more Jesus is the focus, he brings fruitfulness to our lives, our families, our businesses. Let me give you an example. As As most of you know, the team with Errol and Cindy, some of us, we've been going into India and to Pakistan the last couple of years. And especially in Pakistan, we've been wrestling. Lord, we want to see fruitfulness taking place as we go. We want to see a growth in what you're doing there. And to be honest, it's been really difficult the last couple of years. And just this last trip, as we were praying, it was out of a time of just intimacy with Jesus. One of the simple prayers that was prayed, oh Lord, give us a Cornelius type moment. And if you know your Bible, Cornelius was that guy who'd got a whole group of friends together in a room. They were waiting for the word of God. And Peter was sleeping on the roof. He was having a power nap in the afternoon. He was dreaming about his lunch, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, and God connected this group of people that were ready for the word of God, with this apostle who had the word of God. And in that moment, Jesus brought them together. And here this guy prayed this simple prayer, and that's exactly what Jesus did on that trip. In other words, the fruitfulness that we're seeing, we're stepping into fruitfulness that didn't come from a clever strategy. It came out of intimacy with Jesus. That's the big idea that I want us to grab. Lord, you want us to be fruit. God wants you to be fruitful in your business. But chances are the breakthrough in your business is not going to come reading some internet report about something. It'll probably actually come as you just spend time on your knees before Jesus. God, why don't you speak to me about my business? This wrestle that we're having in our marriage or our family, and you've tried this. You've spoken to this person and that person. Actually, have you spoken to God? Have you actually, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Fruitfulness comes out of intimacy with Jesus. This is why keeping Jesus the main one, the main thing, is so critical. It simplifies our lives. It unifies us and it multiplies us. Amen? So I want to land just a couple of practical things. In fact, one verse in that famous encounter when Jesus was asked by one of the teachers of the law in Mark chapter 12. In verse number 28, they heard Jesus debating and noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus, this is it. Here's the most important thing. And notice that it's a command. Hollywood would paint the picture of how much love is an emotion, and there is an emotional component to love, but God commands you. Not do you feel love? No, He commands you to love Him. So what does it mean to keep Jesus as the main one? Simply means love Him. Love Him, firstly, with all of your heart. When the Bible speaks about your heart, it speaks about the seat of your desires. It comes from the wellspring of life, the state of your heart. This is where your desires come from. I want to ask you this. Is Jesus really your number one passion in life? Honestly, let's just be real between you and the Holy Spirit, because He knows your heart. Is Jesus, or are you playing church, coming on a Sunday? Or is Jesus really the number one passion in your heart? Because here's the thing. If you hold something in your heart higher than Jesus, the Bible has a word for that. Do you know what that word is? An idol. An idol is something that has stolen the affections and worship. Now you're devoting more of your heart to that than to Jesus. And here's the thing. God is never going to answer a prayer about an idol. This is why it's so critical. Now, here's the danger. Sometimes good things can become idols in our lives. Let me say this very gently and lovingly. Your children could become an idol. When you start putting your kids before God, now that you're an idol. Well, you could put your marriage, you could put your girlfriend, you could put your computer games, you could put whatever, you could put anything above. Now, as much as you pray, blessed, 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 God is saying, I can't. Because it's going to destroy you. Because as soon as our hearts are yearning after anything before God, it ends up destroying us. Idols were supposed to be pulled down and destroyed. In 1 John 5 verse 21, John, that old man on the island of Patmos, in his last words in the book of his letter in John, 1 John chapter 5 verse 21, he said, Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's take a moment this morning. Is Jesus really still number one? One of my favorite churches in the Bible is the church in Ephesus. It's an incredible base church that impacted nations. And when Jesus is speaking to the church in Revelation, he says, church, you're doing amazing stuff. Church, you're busy, you're active, you're outreaching. This is an incredible base church. It's impacting nations. He says, but you've lost your first love. And you know what happened? That church is now in the most unreached people group in the world, in Turkey. That's what happens. You can be busy doing the Christian thing, but when you've lost Jesus as your first love, the end has come. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and then with all your soul. When it speaks about soul, it speaks about your kind of your emotions, your thinking. Really, it's about your will. Loving the Lord your God with your willpower. God has given you free will and you can now love. The best thing you could do with your free will is give it back to God and say, your will be done. That's real worship. Real worship is not singing songs. It's taking your free will and making it God's will. One of the sermons that was preached was called this: is obedience your only option or optional? That's the question. When it comes to Jesus, let's be real for a moment. When you read the Bible and you read what Jesus says in the Bible, is it optional or does it become from that moment your only option? Jesus said it like this in John 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. We sometimes think, if you love me, well, then sing. No, keep my commands. If you love me, then put a Christian bumper sticker on your car. No, no. If you love me, obey my commands. If you love me, send out a daily WhatsApp to everyone, encouraging them with a scripture. No, obey my commands. That's the love language of God. Someone else said this: success in the kingdom of God comes from keep on saying yes to Jesus. Someone else said this: maturity in Christ is measured by the time taken for you to obey Jesus. Keeping Jesus as the main one means making obedience the only option and not optional. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And then he said, with all your mind. To love Jesus, to keep him the main thing, means loving Jesus with the way we think. Let me give you two examples. In Hebrews 3 verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. I love that little phrase. It's one of those phrases that jumped out at me. It says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Now, I'll take a bit of license, but in English anyway, that word fix has got two meanings. You can fix something if it's broken, or you can fix it by attaching it to the wall. It's fixed to the wall. And both of those apply to my thinking. So let me give you two testimonies. Number one, I realized recently as we've been going through that the Freedom in Christ material in our small groups, I watched that one session about when you've got negative emotions inside of you that tend to be there a lot. It's like a flashing light on your dashboard, you know, like that oil light or something. It means there's something wrong in the engine. And they said, normally, that's pointing to some kind of life goal that you have, which is not God's life goal for you. And I'm like, okay. And I began to realize, well, what are some of my life goals? And I straight away thought, now don't hold this against me. I thought, well, one of my life goals is successful, smooth running church services on a Sunday morning. And everything goes according to plan. We had a power trip this morning in the first service. And it was like, and I realized sometimes that's why I'm getting frustrated. And I get frustrated with the staff and with the team because without even knowing it, in my thinking, this is what success means. Great packed service and everything went smoothly. That's not success for God. Because you could have that and be completely disobedient to what Jesus called you to do. Success through Jesus' eyes has got nothing to do with other people, because you end up getting frustrated because someone drops the ball, then this doesn't happen and this person doesn't come to the leaders' meeting and I'm like, that's an incorrect life goal. Life goal is, am I being obedient to what Jesus has told me to do? Am I modeling Christian maturity? That's what success looks like. Fix your thoughts. Maybe you've got some broken thoughts. Thoughts that you thought were, no, they're broken, because that's not what the Word of God says. Another idea is to fix something means to attach it. There's an area in my life where I find part of my background where I used to struggle with discouragement a lot. And what would happen is my thoughts would be almost like side railed into a holding pattern. And I'd find myself dwelling on this is not fair. This is sort of a self-pity type thing. And suddenly I'd find my thoughts going round and round and round. And it's like, those thoughts need to be fixed back to the rails of the Word of God. To love the Lord your God with your mind means realizing I don't give my mind free rein to think whatever it wants, whenever it wants. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Amen? Because our lives will never change. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so to love Jesus with your thoughts means bringing them back to the thoughts of Christ. And lastly, let me land with this one. And then love the Lord with all your strength. Strength is not just physical. Strength is what you expend yourself on. And really, it's more to do with your time and energy. What are you expending your life on? Tyron Daniel said this. He said, time given to kingdom matters lasts for eternity. Time devoted to non-kingdom issues is wasted forever. And I wonder, in this busy age, sometimes we can fall into the trap, even with ourselves, of like, I'm so busy, busy, busy. But if you stop and think about it, but then you spend 3 hours on Netflix and you spend an hour doom scrolling through social media. And sometimes we're not as busy as we think we are. We've just allowed ourselves not to love the Lord with all our strength or all our time. And we're actually allowing it to be stolen left, right, and center. We were meditating on a passage from Acts chapter 6. In our last deacon's meeting, we were just chewing through some scripture. And as we did this verse, oof, it hurt me. Acts 6 verse 2 in the NLT version. It says, so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. That little phrase, should spend our time. What should you spend your time on? I suddenly realized, Brent, there are things I should spend my time on, and there's things I shouldn't spend my time on. Watching a bit of golf is fine, but when it consumes your agenda, now it's no longer loving the Lord your God with all your strength. Does that make sense? Maybe you've got areas of your life where actually you're not loving God with your time. You're allowing the enemy to steal it right from under you. And so, simple message this morning. The main thing is to keep the main one the main thing. Elders, that's our job as a church, to keep the church focused on the main one. But then moms, dads, and all of us, that's our job individually and for our families as well. Keeping Jesus the main one as the main thing. And when we get that right, it simplifies our lives. We seek first, non-negotiable, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then we can trust the Father to take care of everything else. What it means is this is our unity strategy. When each of us in the family, the more we love Jesus, the more we'll have unity. In our small group, in our church, in our worship team, the more Jesus is Lord, the more united we will be. And that's where fruitfulness comes from. Fruitfulness will never be our clever strategy or program or plan. Fruitfulness comes out of intimacy with Jesus. So I want to ask you this morning, are you loving the Lord your God with all your heart? Are you loving him with your will, your soul? Are you loving him with the way you think? Are you loving him with your time and energy? Let's keep the main one the main thing. Can you say amen to that? Why don't you stand with me, please? If you don't mind closing your eyes for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus, the exact representation of your being. Thank you, Father, that you were pleased to have all your fullness dwell in him. And Jesus, thank you that you are supreme over all things, the head of all things. And Father God, as we stand before your throne this morning, we invite you, Holy Spirit, would you come and look at our hearts, examine our hearts? Come, Holy Spirit, just for a moment, I want you to pray. I want you to ask, say, Holy Spirit, am I loving Jesus with all my heart? And Holy Spirit, if there's any other passion that has taken first place, if there's anything that now we're holding as more important than you, please convict us now, Holy Spirit. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Even good things can become idols if we allow them higher place than Jesus. Are you loving the Lord with your willpower? In other words, not my will, your will be done. You might sing about Jesus and wear Jesus t-shirts, but ultimately, are you walking in obedience to Jesus? What about your thought life? Are you bringing your thoughts under the Lordship of Jesus? Or are you allowing those rogue thoughts round and round and round, or fantasy type thoughts that are evil, and you just, your mind is out of control? Jesus, we want to love you with our thinking. And what about your strength, what you spend yourself on, your time and energy? Jesus, does our daily schedule, our daily agenda reflect Jesus first? Come, Holy Spirit. And you just take a moment, ask the Holy Spirit to point out anything that needs adjustment this morning. At the same time, I want to take a moment. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to be number one in your life. You might have grown up in a Christian home. Maybe you get dragged to church every now and again. But in all honesty, you've never accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what it means to be born again. When we admit to God that we're sinners and we humble ourselves and invite Christ Jesus to be Lord of our lives. We confess our sins to him. We turn in repentance from our past and we dedicate ourselves towards becoming followers of Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never done that. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And you'll know if that's you because God still calls. He gets a hold of a human heart and your heart will be beating and you'll be feeling like something inside of me is telling me I need to make right with God. So just with our eyes closed, I'm not going to call you to the front, but maybe you need to lift up your hand and say, yes, Pastor, that's me. That's me today. Is there anyone like that? Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I really do want to encourage those who lifted their hands. I would love to pray with you. Just everyone else is going to go for coffee and pizza in a moment. Please come and pray with me. I'd love to encourage you. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are working on our hearts. And Lord Jesus, as a church, we want to make a fresh dedication, Jesus, that in everything you would have the supremacy. Jesus, we don't want to talk about you being the head of the church. Jesus, you are the head of the church. Jesus, we don't want to call ourselves the chief shepherds. Jesus, you are the chief pastor, the chief shepherd. Jesus, you are the main thing. And Father, we give you the glory and honor. We thank you for the wonder and privilege we have of following after Jesus. Thank you that as we go knowing your gracious hand rests upon us in Jesus' name.